This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. Now, let's pick up where we left off.
We're Luna. And this is Gayotic.
Our podcast about absolutely nothing and yet everything, hosted by us homosexuals.
Who all share one brain cell.
Oh my god.
I'm Josette.
I'm Katie.
I'm Naomi.
The three of us have been in a band together for years. We've been friends for a decade. And we've been gay since the beginning of time.
Oh, yes.
Perfectly synced.
Yeah.
Right on cue.
That's always the best.
Did you ever have to do like Zoom recording with Queen? Actually, you know, we wrote our song over Zoom, so obviously.
We wrote, yeah, we
did. Did you leave your,
all of our sessions,
you left your history behind for a moment?
I did. I left my body.
But not many. I think just you guys and Ava and then Troy and I we did a lot over Zoom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's impossible because you can't actually listen to something.
I think it's great for finishing songs.
Agreed.
If you need to do a second verse or if you need to write a bridge, but I prefer to be dancing around the room with someone.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so today on the pod, I have to stop immediately because I can't believe how unprofessional I'm being.
Improfessional.
No, she's into being really professional.
As soon as I started being like, I'm going to do an introduction.
Oh, you my mean God. Introduction.
Introduction. We have our dear, dear friend, and his professional name is Leland. And I'm really, really happy that you're here. We have worked a lot together, but recently, I feel like there's a lot of crazy shit happening in your career. You're in a moment right now.
I mean, yeah. Wow. That's fucking crazy. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a moment. I think this chapter all just feels like bonus and getting to play with my friends. Mm. And I really love that. So I keep forgetting, I one of the things that's happening in this moment is Troy Song Rush, which is just so special, and the video is iconic. And
Song of the Summer, for sure.
I need to like hear everything about how that song.
It's so special, and you know, no matter what the reception had been with the song, we were so proud of it, so proud of this body of work and where he is.
Yeah.
But being that the reception has been so incredible, we just get to like celebrate a little bit, and now we're just excited to do it again. We already were before this album started coming out, but yeah, it's just really awesome. And I think, you know, in the midst of the song coming out and everything going on, we've just been laying around my house the past couple weeks.
Not really doing anything together.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like you guys are always together.
We hang out a lot, and then we also, it's sort of like the relationship I see with my mom and my grandma, where they just call each other throughout the day.
Cute.
And so we've already spoken, I think, 3 times today.
That's
it's
so
just
cute.
So sweet. I think we're going on 10 years of
same
friendship and being collaborators. And it always, I don't know how it feels like to you guys, but to me it feels like, oh, now we're just getting started.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Like this has been, we have so many great memories and so many fun things, but we're at a place now where we're creating with so much less fear and so much more freedom. And like when budgets increase, your imagination can also increase in that way. So it's really fun.
But not everybody can meet that opportunity when they get it.
Not everyone can meet that opportunity without without the fear.
Oh, totally. I mean, I had, like, at the beginning of our like I would say relationship and friendship as collaborators, I had so much more fear.
I mean,
than
yeah,
Troy
definitely
did, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he grew up in a really incredible home that, like, you know, I know he's told this story, but he just came out really young and was supported away. And so, and I just have a different background.
Yeah.
I'm very close to my parents now, but I grew up in South Mississippi. Yeah. And
is that considered Bible Belt?
It's like the buckle.
It's the deepest part. Yeah.
It's
holy
the
shit.
Something. And so growing up there, I knew what I wanted to do was just write songs and pop songs. And I grew up in the TRL era of music videos and racing home before anyone else got home to watch, to have like 45 minutes of TRL time before I had to change the channel because everyone got home. So, so when we first started writing songs and putting same-sex pronouns in songs, I was like, I didn't say anything in the moment, but I had this fear of it's wild that it all goes back to like, well, my parents are going to hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy how quickly I could revert to feeling that way. Mm-hmm. But now we're, my parents adore Troy. Are like, my grandparents adore Troy. Like everyone, yeah, we just have so much love for each other that that fear went away. And I'm so grateful for that, but I needed those sessions of feeling uncomfortable and that reassurance of just like, no, this is what we're doing. And I grew so much from that. And I think that's why it took a little while for me to do my project.
Right. That's what I was going to say too, is like, I think people who know your work, they probably, it's like a lot of, it's very common to know you as one of the, like one of the songwriters of our generation right now. Yeah. But then also people know you from RuPaul because, I mean, it's just been something that has really
together.
Yeah. Sisters. But yeah, I mean, that's a whole other like realm of your career and something that you're exploring that I'm so excited about. And we also did a song together.
We did a song together. That was
but when
the
did
best.
You start? So you're so like in terms of being afraid or like having that moment of clocking, I don't know if I'm comfortable with same-sex pronouns on songs. Like, were you writing songs as a kid? When did you start writing and what were, how did you approach that? Like, and also how did that work in terms of your identity? Like,
you know, as you're saying that, it's reminding me of a story when I was living in Mississippi, and I think I was probably in 9th or 10th grade, and my parents had gotten a piano for us, which was amazing.
Cool.
And so I remember going to them and being like, I wrote something and I need to show you. And then they came in, they were so excited. And I remember just playing chords, like just an instrumental. There was no lyric, there was no melody. And I think they were like, wait. But I didn't know. And I'm realizing now, I think at the time I didn't really know what to talk about or what to sing about. I didn't want to sing about, I didn't want to sing anything religious. I grew up in like a deeply religious setting and home and all of that. And so for a long time, I could write chords and even melodies, but I didn't know what to say. Even in college, I was writing songs and I was writing songs for other people. Mm-hmm. Like my friend needed a country song for our country showcase. So my friend and I would sit down and write a song for her or even like a gospel song, but I didn't know what to say because I couldn't say what I wanted to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not going to just say bullshit. I also hadn't had any like life or love experience yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was figuring out how to put that into a song without coming out.
Yeah.
So
for it, sure.
That made like songwriting pretty complicated for a while, at least
That's
for myself.
That's a real tricky situation.
It's so funny. I love talking about, I feel like dating wise, I'm in where I would have loved to be in college, you know, but you spend so much time. I got to college and I was like, I am gay. I'm ready to date. I'm ready to hook up, but no one can know. Mm-hmm. And that is a very challenging place to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just like It's such a common story that I feel like I talk about with people all the time of just like, just not being able to self-actualize for one reason or another. You get kind of robbed of certain life experiences, mm-hmm. or they just get, you know,
delayed,
kind of postponed and
bit.
Delayed. Yeah. So I totally understand what you're saying.
But it's a beautiful thing that we, like, you know, as a queer community, I think that's such a common thing.
Yes.
We are
totally
having certain experiences just a little bit later in life. And maybe that means we can handle them with a bit more maturity, maybe not.
Perhaps,
but,
yeah.
But I'm trying to just think of the pros of not having a boyfriend in high school or mm-hmm. not knowing another gay person in high school or all of that. But now, you know, I think it took up until now, Rush is just such a wonderful example of how I feel too, like as a person in this chapter.
Yeah.
And the kinds of experiences I want to be having. And I, whereas before, you know, I would maybe not necessarily send the song to my parents. Now I'm like, I can't tell enough people that I'm a part of that song.
Totally.
Yeah, totally.
And it also makes me think about like just how important it is. I'm sure that there's a very like rich history of queer people kind of working behind the scenes for, you know, pop stars that were like more in line with, you know, like the straight.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a
gifting
rich
them culture.
There's a rich history.
Yeah.
But it's just very meaningful, like that you are working with another gay person, albeit, I mean, I feel like you're a top. I don't know if Troy's a top.
Didn't he just come out as a top?
He just
kind of
cleared it up.
Oh my God. Wait, tell me.
He talked about
no,
Bloom.
It's just, it was on the Emrata podcast.
Okay.
And he was like, I kind of feel like I have to like clarify to people.
Oh,
we,
is
like,
it because I bloom just for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, just for
just
you.
Just for you.
Duh. Just for you.
Oh my God.
So just for that special person.
Wow. I feel all of a sudden so much more connected to Troy.
Because, you know, depending on how you identify sexually or what you're into, if you are predominantly a top, bottoming is a really vulnerable moment.
Oh my God.
100%.
You know who talks about this on our pod was Matt Rogers, I think, like said
shocking.
Something like but said something like really along the
and
lines.
We met
of,
him at your party actually.
Oh, that's right.
We traced
he
the lines
and Jared
back.
Were pushing each other to go talk
which
to
really
him.
Like yeah. streamlines the narrative so of like I really feel like Brett is like mama of like
well
the,
yeah that party was insane.
Yeah, I mean
that was
just
such a fun one. There was someone at that party, wait, maybe you know who this is, but there was someone at that party in character as Miss Piggy.
I didn't.
The,
I,
from
I
the
didn't
moment
see.
They showed up till the moment
so
they left,
funny.
Did
and
not.
You don't
break,
know who
and
it
not
is?
A single person knows who they are.
That is so.
Were they weren't
funny.
Invited.
They absolutely were invited. Like yeah. I'm like, did I invite Miss Piggy? Or like, but
like,
it was amazing. But
fuck?
That party was really special.
That's so funny.
Wait, I was having a.
You were thinking about topping and bottoming and
no,
and
no,
and
it was before
and
that. I had a story related to your story about like just playing chords for
yeah.
your mom and
yes.
dad.
Yeah.
Like
everyone
I was,
does. I feel like
yeah.
we were all.
I was
kind of
well. Yeah,
kids
I want
to
hear
that.
About the first like pieces of music that you guys showed
Please.
To your family
yes.
that you wrote. But I wrote a song. One of the first songs I wrote was called "The Gear Song," and it was like really horny. Like the lines, the line in the chorus was like, "It was like these angry gears are bound to grind."
Whoa!
Like, wow!
I was obsessed with grinding.
How
the,
old
the
were
story
you?
Is consistent. I was in like seventh grade. So
I will
like,
say that
like
feels
dance.
Like it has layers.
The anger
beyond just the sexual. Yeah. The
yeah.
Anger.
Yeah. Yeah. The anger. But I mean, anger is sex too. Oh. You know.
The rage.
Totally. But I wrote this song called "The Gear Song," and then, I did play it in front of my parents, like, and also at an open mic, and then, after that, I found out that my dad was like trying to see if I could like. Get into therapy because he was so disturbed.
He was so disturbed that you wanted that you had the compulsion to make art.
Yeah. Well, no, it was just like it was
indicative of such
I
a profound
song,
sickness.
Well, it was like the song, the vibe of the song a little bit was like it's like it hurts, but I like it.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like,
it's got to be such an interesting thing for a parent to watch their child who they know and they're hearing you sing these things and they're like, What the fuck are they thinking?
Yeah, and like at the time, I think all I had done was like, I had like made out with a guy.
Yeah.
And then like from that, you know, that plus my fantasy.
School dance era. That's mm-hmm. There's an awakening in that chapter.
So disturbing.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. There were angry gears for
yes,
sure.
Yes, very
I think
scary.
Being a parent must be the most disturbing experience to just see your kid be disgusting.
Oh. It's actually so gross.
I think about myself and I'm like, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how I came through that.
Same. Yeah.
You have to, your parents just have to black out through it. Like, I can't. You're like 13 and you want to have sex. Like, that is insane.
And you look
that is
like
so
a monster.
Disgusting. Dude, it's so disgusting.
But maybe there was a difference because like I still would never have written about like I would never have written an explicitly queer song. I never would have been like, I'm making out with my best friends, but that's what I was doing.
Femme privilege.
I know. But I did still have this kind of like confidence from somewhere of like I can put like more adult like messed up and I can also write about things that I haven't experienced yet and put that in songs but yeah I know you I think I know what your first song that you wrote
Romeo
was,
and Juliet.
Yeah, everyone knows.
Let's hear about it.
I'm a hitmaker.
That title, classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic title.
Yeah, I used to play for my parents all the time and I used to play at their parties. I put out my bowler hat. Get that cash.
Oh.
I would like the Elvis performers.
I would give anything.
A video to been there.
I looked amazing.
If we find time travel, that's where I'm going.
That's
amazing. Exactly where I'm going.
I was totally normal looking. I looked like I should and that I fit into my body and in society. So
it looked like I should.
Yeah, that was the first song, but I wrote songs all the time. Like I just like
but what
music.
Was this
Romeo
song?
And Juliet, you guys
Is
know.
It- Romeo
I
and
know,
Juliet, that's
tell
who,
us what
that's
it was
who
about.
You are to
no,
me.
No, it's like Romeo and Juliet.
That's
what
you
that's
are
what
to
I
me?
Think we are. It's like everything and
that's what I think
everywhere.
We are, Sarah.
That's so bizarre that I found
all
someone
once.
To love. I don't know.
Was it about somebody?
No. Girl, I was just singing.
Okay. Neither were mine.
No, I mean, I think about kids' no songs, it's like, what am I really digging into? I'm digging into singing and playing and getting attention. You know,
I learned about what love was 3 days ago. So
absolutely.
I'm curious about it. Yeah.
What about you? Did you write songs?
I didn't write songs, but I was constantly like playing music. Uh-huh. Like I had a piano in my room.
Mm. Yeah.
So I was just constantly playing the piano and I was constantly singing. Like, yeah. That was more my thing.
But did you ever go like, Mom, check this out?
No, I wasn't really I'm not really a songwriter in my soul. Like, that's not who I am.
I mean, shit,
like, I also feel like you probably would have gotten the vibe from Harriet, like, just like, do your shit. But
and
you
also just
to,
like, that sucks. Yeah. when you have a lot of jazz snobs in your family, maybe it discourages
got it.
Musical adventure.
No, she would have been proud of you.
No, my mom's great. But yeah, she doesn't listen to this. Yeah, I didn't really write songs, but okay. I would make songs up on the piano for sure, like all the time. And I would play for hours, but I would not practice.
That's,
so I'd show up to my lessons
I never really got better. Just.
I'm still, wait, so you can play piano.
I can play chords and I played in church. So that's
wondering, like, were you a church musician?
Oh yeah. And honestly, I still... Like, those songs are very the melodies are strategically written
they're
to
good.
Evoke emotion.
I thought you were going to say, I still go to church.
I still go to the same church.
I was going
to
say,
and,
rock on.
And still leading praise and worship.
As someone who was raised completely secular, like...
Tax-free.
Religious music is really powerful.
It's so
like,
beautiful.
It's insane how good it is.
I would imagine in the South it was maybe better... I was in like a Christian rock band. It wasn't bad actually. I loved my voice teacher in high school and she taught me a lot about songwriting and she ran the like Christian rock band.
Was it the Christian rock band in the church or outside of the church?
In the church.
Got it.
So we would like
Catholic rock.
It was Catholic rock.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Progressive.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Our second duet.
Speaking of that,
I want to see you.
It's wow. Gorgeous.
Okay, so there was some crossover.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sing another one.
Oh, God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Da 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 da. So, I mean, yeah, the melodies are amazing.
I wish
intoxicating
I knew.
Intoxicating melodies.
Mm-hmm. That would have been so cool.
Speaking about being intoxicating, like, this break that we're going to take for an ad is absolutely deliciously intoxicating. Okay.
I walked, for what it's worth, I walked in today drinking AG1. It's in my North Face cup. I shook it up right before I walked out of the house with
you
some
love that cup.
Cashew milk.
That's your special cup.
Let me start by saying this show, Gaiotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now? Speaking of BetterHelp,
not
in.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, you know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently. And
absolutely.
It's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know,
we are very pro therapy as a band.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm also pro, like, getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was, like, the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend
found.
Of ours
yeah.
who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp as an individual that travels quite a bit and
mm-hmm.
needed to be able to do it over the phone. And, yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date. And
mm-hmm.
it makes you feel very nervous, and you do have to find the right person, and
mm-hmm.
BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/gaiotic today, and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/gaiotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go.
Please
get help. You're listening to Gaiotic? Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You were the first one to ever try to get us to be like, have a good sync. You have always watched our bad
yeah.
more than anybody.
You just, yeah, you've.
And honestly, the first
so
like
times.
Really successful co-write for Katie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, how's it feel?
I have
that's
been
just facts.
Such a fan. And I think I've told you this, but during COVID, when we were all in quarantine, my three friends that moved in with me, we would just blast Muna all day long. And actually, it just. Dance around the house,
hell
around
yeah.
the deck, like we just blast it. And so I fell in love with you guys just as a band and songwriters. And so becoming friends and collaborators has been incredible. And that was, that song that we tried to do for Love Victor,
mm-hmm.
that I think that might have been one of the first sessions in my place.
Yeah.
Because we were in a spare
yeah.
bedroom with no furniture
mm-hmm.
And like lawn chairs or some fold out chairs.
And
or something.
I can't remember if you didn't have your pup yet or you maybe
no.
had, like, just got.
I think you just gotten a puppy, yeah. maybe.
Just got Crosby.
Yeah.
Who's four
That's
now.
Unbelievable. Wow. So cute.
But yeah, I knew there was going to be something when it all, you know, when the time was right and everything. And truthfully, I did not imagine that it would be like us as a duet and then what I want and then that opening the eras. It's all just like these moments to see like the birth of a song and see just where it goes is really special. It never gets old.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw the LA show here and you opened with What I Want.
And we're gonna do it again.
So it like that is the I think probably the most fulfilling moment of being a songwriter for me. It's like because it's not about it's awesome when people like songs that you've written, but seeing them arranged and seeing the artist perform it and the reaction of the crowd,
right.
that's the moment that like you can't really capture, and you can't, or you can't like create out of thin air. Mm-hmm. It leads to that.
Right.
And it's the result of the song coming out, people loving the song, people living with the song for however many months. And then that moment of seeing it live, you just can't recreate it. It only happens in that moment and only so many times.
Yeah.
So that's been really,
it's
really
the perfect
special
song to open the show with. I think.
You have a little.
Well, you get that.
It's kind of, it's actually, is it blood from your finger maybe?
Are you bleeding?
Like, here, can
different
I show
kind
you?
Of podcast.
It's not, my finger isn't bleeding anymore.
I'll ask you another question because, so what was, what while she's doing,
medic?
She's going to be fine.
Medic.
She's going to be fine while she sees the medic. When did you know that you wanted to be a songwriter? And then what was, because we didn't get to go to you, what was the first actual like song that you remember? Or like, maybe what's the first song that you remember writing that felt true to you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I went to Belmont in Nashville, which was a very music-centric school. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even have a songwriting program at the time, but I just made friends who I'm still like very good friends with just like the kookiest ones out of the bunch that I could find that were so funny, so talented, which we would discover along the way. But they needed songs for things. And I sort of became, oh, you need a song? Go to Brett. Like if you need a song for this showcase or if you need something, like he'll make it happen. And so I was just doing sessions with friends in my apartment. And I also knew that I did not have the means or the budget or the vision yet for myself as an artist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just knew, I was like, I don't know what I want to talk about. I don't possess like the production skills alone to bring that to fruition. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to direct my focus on writing for other people. And I got really lucky that John Platt, who is the head of Sony Publishing, uh-huh, was sent my music by a really shady manager who ended up like taking money from, like stealing money from me. But it all worked out because I was able to get out of that management contract.
Oh,
so it all, it was
a shady manager is like an integral part of the process.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, it really absolutely is.
And my friends have stories because he would come up and meet us and hang and all of that. But what he did do was get me a publishing deal, cool, which is wild. And
with Sony?
With Sony, with EMI, now Sony.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, John Platt signed me again because he left to run another company and then came back. And now we're working together again. And so I moved to LA and I was like, oh, after college, my advance was like just nothing, you know, like barely anything. They literally slid a check under my door. I went and bought a flat screen and then moved to LA. That was it.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, okay, let's go. And I was like, you know, I'm going to get to LA and I'm going to be writing for Beyonce and going to be writing for all these people. And it was not like that. I always had a full-time job for the first like 7 years of living here.
What were you doing?
I was catering.
Let's go.
Catering.
Good, that's a good one. I know a lot of caterers.
And I made so many friends, and we had wild experiences. I catered Kim Kardashian's wedding to Chris Humphries.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow.
What the fuck?
I'm like, in the thick of it.
Oh, you told me that.
Mm-hmm. There's a moment from that wedding where I had the Jenner table, myself and like two other servers. And there's a moment where Kris Jenner is dancing on a chair and I'm holding the chair. And on the other side of the chair is Kathy Hilton, who's also holding the chair. And she looks at me and I'm in my apron, I'm in my outfit. She goes, don't let go. And I'm like, I'm not. And it was a wild experience. Catered a lot of stuff. Like I catered the Video Music Awards, the VMAs, when Beyonce did Love on Top.
Yeah,
that
the
year.
Reveal,
and,
right?
And
the pregnancy reveal.
And I was right there and I'm handing champagne to Britney Spears and handing champagne to Gaga. And had really a lot of moments where I was like writing with certain artists that were at the VMAs that year. And I was like, this is a very humbling experience.
Yeah.
It's also a great test of like, if these people are actually my friends.
Yeah.
And they still are to this day. And no one ever treated me any different. They were like, oh, you're doing what you got to do.
Right.
And that's how I feel still, you know. But yeah, so just did many sessions, and it wasn't for 7 or 8 years of living here that my first song with an artist named Daya came out. And then Shroy and I met shortly after, and Youth came out, I think, a month or two after that. And I was like, oh, so this is how it is. You just get songs on the radio. And then that didn't happen again for a year. So you it's just a wild experience. But part of that fear of doing putting same-sex pronouns in songs when Troy and Ali X and I first started writing together was I was so broke and working a full-time job while also doing sessions where I was like, no, these songs need to be on the radio.
Yeah.
And they won't be on the radio if they have same-sex pronouns.
Yeah.
And what I give Troy so much credit for is just being fearless and being like, no, we're good. It's all like, I mean,
this
we didn't
the
really,
right moment.
This is the moment and this is me. And I have to be true to myself. His label signed him knowing exactly who he was.
Yeah.
And that was incredible to be a part of that.
It's really living special. Through, I think like we share, we share a similar sort of like experience just living, having lived through that transitional period of the music industry. When was
Absolutely.
That? What was that? 2013, 2014?
Yes.
When that happened? Yeah. So that felt like the first time in history where you could get away with that. Like, and we're all so fucking traumatized by how brutal capitalism is.
But it takes somebody like, being like
and
in
the
touch.
Effect of that on your art. Like
it takes somebody being in so touch intense. With the moment and knowing like that this is the right time.
Because he was young. He just maybe
he was so young. I think he was
knew.
19.
I mean, but yeah, he was a YouTuber, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and we met through Tyler Oakley.
Real?
Oh shit.
Yeah.
He's one of my still like dear friends who I love so much.
That's cute.
We're so like wonderfully intertwined at this point and also completely independent where we have our own lanes. Mm-hmm. And so that is such a nice balance where there's no codependency.
Yeah.
And I always remind him, and he doesn't even need to hear it, but I remind him like, you don't have to write with me. You know what
right.
I like feel free, like if you want to work with other people, but
fly.
And he's like, oh no, I do, but with you. And I'm like, well, I love that, you know, and it's so special. It's just really special. And, you know, he's always, because he's hanging at the house, I'm working on Drag Race from home a lot.
Yeah.
And so his influence and his touch is on a lot more Drag Race music than people realize.
That's
or
so
know.
Cute.
Or his vocals will be, you know, maybe in the background of something.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
So it's I run basically all the finale songs by him. And
Troy co-wrote I Remember Being Born.
He might have. He might have.
That's
he
so
did
crazy.
Help me on I Fell Down, I Got Up, I Won, which was Lady Camden's.
Oh,
wow.
My God. I ran into Lady Camden in an elevator.
I love Lady Camden.
And I was like, I love, such a nerd.
Love Lady Camden.
Yeah, yeah. I love Lady Camden. Fucking hell. I told you I was going to say this when you came in and you said that your brain might break, but like, but it's like, I'm just in a moment with songwriting where it's like, you know, you ever feel like the angel's just never going to visit you again?
Mm.
And it's like, how do you do it?
I kind of feel that way every time I
okay,
sit
yeah.
down.
Also, Katie,
to do
you just
it.
You've been visited recently, so relax.
Really?
Do you ever
She's been
okay,
visited.
Do you ever worry that like your tolerance is like I worry that I have like a addictive like drug relationship with songwriting where it's like my tolerance has gone
you
up
want flow
so it's
state.
Like I'm not I'm ungrateful. I'm like not happy if I got a good song.
You want a great one?
I want a great one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean,
that might be it. That might
like,
be
I'm actually a little
else.
More normal than that.
Katie's being greedy with the muses.
I know. I mean, I feel that hunger.
Yeah.
I love a great pop song.
Yeah.
Like what I want objectively is a great pop song.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is so, yeah. So I definitely love not like chasing a great song, but just finding it.
Finding it.
Because I think it's there. And, you know, I am so fortunate, I think, to work with a lot of artists that know what they want and just want a little help finding it in an easier way.
Yeah.
You know, so, so I don't know. I don't really have, for me, like a science to it. Every song comes in a different way.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll think of a concept. A lot of my like concepts and song ideas come when I'm on a walk or hiking Fryman or something like that. And maybe I'll like smoke a joint before and go on a hike. And then I think of, I think I thought of like Fetish for Selena that way. And I Hate People. From Drag Race.
I Hate People is maybe the most iconic thing that's ever happened on on that show.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite original Queen
song. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. That was so fun. And that was Sarah Hudson on the vocal for that one, who I love so much. And so I just try to think of, and even now in pop, you know, depending on what the song calls for, but working in comedy so much has helped me realize that if there's something funny, in a set, like if we are tossing out a funny lyric,
that it's also good.
It's good.
Yeah.
And it should be in there. And if it feels, if you're like, oh, that's too much. No, that's probably just right.
100%.
And will not even come across as too much to the listener.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Much better to make someone laugh than to just like placate.
Yes. Or like.
Their mind, you know.
Be like, forgettable.
Or, yeah, totally.
I'm just like really in awe of people that co-write in general. As Naomi mentioned, like, you're one of the only people that I've like felt really safe co-writing with, and it's just, I have so much respect for people who can throw stuff out there and like navigate what's working, what's not. And like, I love that you chose the word, like the phrase, find the song, because I really feel like that's just kind of nail on the head in terms of like how great songs come to be, is like you're just searching for what feels right. And it's not a matter of like, you don't have to do it all on your own.
And you also don't have to do it in that exact moment.
Uh-huh.
You just find the pieces that
you're like, are you a gibberish? You're kind of like a, you'll
I love a gibberish.
You'll do gibberish and you'll like, it almost seems like you're channeling.
I love a vowel. I love like finding the right vowels and sounds in the gibberish.
Yeah.
Because for me in my head, we know that feeling of when it clicks.
Yeah.
And like, oh, there's something there. But yeah, I love gibberish and just like seeing what comes.
There's something, I mean, often that's how I will hear a song to begin with. Like when I'm out in the world and listening to music, yes. I'm Katie's yeah, much more, wow. It's much easier for Katie to like latch onto a lyric and hear the lyrics in a song.
Yeah.
But for me, when I'm out in the world, I'll often be like, I'll try to catch a couple words if I like a song.
Uh-huh.
Like if I'm out at a restaurant or something and I'm hearing something, I'm like, what the fuck is that? But I'm hearing it as gibberish. Like I don't.
That's so interesting.
I don't always understand.
Yeah, same.
And your body's responding in a way like, I like this.
Yeah, exactly. So there's something to that.
It takes effort for me to hear the lyrics in a song. I have to actually like listen, but I'm paying attention to the music. Hence why totally. We do
that
what
also
we do.
That takes some weight off of the, like, I mean, I love writing. I love like getting the lyric perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, it's like, no, just make sure it feels good.
Yeah,
sure
I definitely understand that with the vowel thing, because I do think the first time you hear a pop song, you know, it's just the way that it all like flows. I think it's so cool that you do that.
It's so fun. And I think one of my favorite things about doing this is adapting to the room.
Yeah.
And knowing, just like knowing the most important thing when we wrote What I Want was for you guys to love it.
Yeah.
Not for me to get as many of my ideas in as I can. It's really just like, no, I want as many songs, you know, with you guys as we can do.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do more for sure.
The ultimate goal is for you guys to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's finding that balance of like, I know you like, you turned out that bridge. When I heard that bridge, I almost had a car wreck because it was.
Oh, the bridge is insane.
The bridge is unbelievable. And I was like, I don't need to be a part of the bridge. Like you don't need to be a part of the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
You just touch something and give just enough to like take the inspiration and run.
Right.
You know, so, but then some sessions I'll come in with a more developed idea or be there the entire way from comping the vocal producing, helping with the mix notes and all of that. So I love being really involved or just minimally involved, whatever it calls for.
Right.
And I don't really care. Like in the best way, like, I'm like, I don't care. Like as much as you need me or you don't, it is all good.
I think that's like such a huge thing. Actually, like, I feel like you've taught me this a lot, is just seeing and noting like what people's strengths are and then just really playing to that. And also like kind of logging it. Like, once I realized how good you are at ad-libbing, I was like, okay, I'm just going to need Leland to like help me, you know. Aww. And then we ended up like using you.
For one that got away.
There's
a lot of those background vocals. Thank you for that. I was just thinking about that.
But yeah, like I can just send you a song and then like 5 minutes later, you'll send me like all like 10 extra hooks, you know, like to put in to a song as an ad lib. And I can't really do that, but I don't have to because I know other people that can do it.
And I can hear in a weird way, like what I can hear other people, artists that I like love and am fans of or have worked with. I can hear their voice.
You can hear what they would
in
do
in my head. And yeah, I can totally hear what they would sound like singing.
That's cool.
A lyric. And that's why I also have so much fun writing for Selena.
Wow. Yeah,
because
totally.
I love her tone.
Yeah, me too.
And I love being like, I think, you know, and you do this in a fantasy world, because in what world do I make up something and then she sings it?
Right.
That is insane. but it weirdly happens, and you know, that's, it's our job, but I love coming up with something and thinking like, oh, she's going to sound amazing on that, or she would sound amazing on that. And then you just speak it and hope that something happens.
Yeah.
But I love, I think like Troy makes fun of me sometimes because I do terrible impressions, but I'm trying to express and communicate what I'm hearing in my head.
Yeah.
Like how this artist would sing it, or, you know, we all have songs that we probably like would pitch for something and we're like, oh, Kylie would sound good on this, or whoever would sound great on this.
Yeah.
And then you try to hear them singing it and you listen back to the song.
Whoa.
Over and over and over, being like, okay, let me imagine The Weeknd on this. Let me imagine Dua on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's fun to listen to a song in that context.
I mean,
as many times as you need to.
I feel like that takes a sort of confidence though. Like, how did you unlock having that confidence to like put yourself in someone else's shoes? You know what I mean? I that's the thing that I'm always amazed by, because I do think co-writing does take a lot of self-assuredness that it takes a while to like develop in an artist. And how did you cultivate that in yourself?
I think I just tried to write with my friends who I just would laugh around and feel safe around, because songwriting is so intimate and scary. And even now, I will sometimes go into a room if it's new writers and feel like the underdog. And I'm like, wait, what is happening to me right now? Why am I reverting? But
you're gay.
You're gay. Yeah, yeah. That's literally what it is. but I've just found, yeah, that just writing with friends, instead of trying, when people ask like songwriting advice, I'm like, don't try to write up. Don't try to spend all your energy writing with the writers that are bigger than you or the ones that are killing it right now.
Uh-huh.
Write with the people that want to write with you.
Yeah, totally.
And what I love doing most, which I know you guys have been a part of, is I love bringing everyone that I love over to my house.
Yeah.
And like being just a place where people can be stupid and fun and play running charades, or we've got this like game now, which is, I need to give the right, I did not come up with this game, but it is called Red Blanket. And it is, you get a prompt, there's two teams, and you have to design a designer gown in under a minute with a blanket.
I would love,
and then you do a reveal.
So much. We need to have a game night.
But like, nothing makes me happier than holding a flashlight to be and pretending that it's a spotlight and playing music from
while someone
like,
does
the
a
speaker
walk.
While someone does the walk. And
so fucking
I would die to do this.
We have to do that.
I just want to say too, like, it actually makes so much sense, like, to think of you as a Southern boy, because you do have like that hospitality and like the sense of you make community around you. And I think it's just really nice to have that in these big city
streets.
The one thing I will add before is that also you are so willing to share your success, like even with us and with other people. I think that is just, I know you as just like a generous person, and that is just a wonderful thing about you.
Thank you. That means so much. And I love, like, doing the Love Victor gig for the three seasons was one of the best jobs I've ever had, because I literally just got to pay my friends to be on a soundtrack, and Disney was paying them money.
So cool.
Like, it's just awesome.
That was incredible. And I got to write gay songs. I forget how many we did, but also, you know, Grag Queen, who won Queen of the Universe season one, mm-hmm. a Brazilian queen who's unbelievable and now hosting Drag Race Brazil.
Oh my God.
Which is iconic. But to have her have a drag queen and it never be any pushback, just be like, no, this is who needs to be on the soundtrack in this scene. That was just so fun. And I also got to use it to work with people I've always wanted to work with. That was a great opportunity for us to meet.
Yeah, totally.
Which was so amazing. So I just feel like there's, I think, especially in our community, everyone has their lane. Mm-hmm. And there's room for everyone. So I'm like, yeah, it's all good. Of course.
Yeah.
Come hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just climbing out of the rubble of that like scarcity mentality as a culture, I feel like. That mm-hmm. there's room for everyone.
Yeah.
And that it's all good.
I do love that though. But yeah, all my friends from college sing on Drag Race, sing in the Vegas Drag Race show.
God.
They all do characters. I'm just doing what we were doing in college.
Yeah.
Creating characters, putting on shows.
If you ever need us to sing on a Drag Race song.
Done.
You know.
Done.
That we will.
Absolutely.
So the chaotic question usually goes like, do you remember if there was a specific piece of media that maybe first gave you an inkling of like...
Or an experience.
Something is not right.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
There is. I mean, I was standing in my grandmother's living room in Indiana. We were visiting my dad's side of the family. And it was the VMAs where Britney did Oops, I Did It Again.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And she's walking down the stairs and the reveal, you know, the sequin tux, you see a little like peak of the nude bodysuit underneath.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the hat is happening and she's singing I Can't Get No Satisfaction, or the slow version that then goes into Oops, I Did It Again.
Yeah. Oh,
and
so iconic.
That,
I'm actually getting chills thinking about that.
I'm going to watch performance, that. Like, I just remember exactly where I was. And I remember then spending the rest of the trip trying to learn the choreography whenever like anyone wasn't looking.
So you knew to hide it.
I did even at that point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. At that time. But it had such a significant impact where I was like, I don't know how to put into words what I'm feeling, but I need to be a part of this somehow.
Uh-huh.
Somehow. And so then, yeah, I just like fell in love with pop music.
Yeah.
So much. And, you know, I would buy Britney albums and my mom would rip out the cover, which was crazy. And I was like, I don't even care. But
yeah.
Like, okay, you know what I'm realizing?
I feel like you're answering this question in like what, which makes sense.
What
like,
traumatized me enough into being
gay?
Like
what? But it's like, it's interesting because there is such a connection of like, if a kid is like really into pop music.
Yeah.
Probably gay.
My brother. Yeah.
But did you know that at the same time? Like, were you like, if I like this to the degree that I like it, then that has an implication about my sexuality?
I didn't at the time. But I think it was as I started to just consume media more. And I remember getting to a place in high school where I was like, this is bullshit. Like, just like what I was experiencing and what my like routine was and the things that I was having, you know, my all that stuff. I was just like, this is bullshit and I can't wait
to leave.
Yeah.
And Belmont, even though at the time it was like a Baptist school, they dropped it a couple years after getting there. And I also realized this is the gayest place in the world.
Amazing.
Because everyone who was like me went there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was an amazing stepping stone for self-discovery. And the way that my friends and I came out to each other was hilarious. I mean, my best friend read my Facebook messages to find out that I was hooking up with my sweet mate. And that's how he found out I was gay.
Oh my God, you're hooking up with your sweet mate?
Yeah, it was the full fantasy.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
That's pretty hot.
And I had my own room because my roommate had been kicked out for drugs week one.
Ugh.
Not by my doing, by his own. And so I had my own room and I was like, well, this is...
You're like, I'm not a narc.
No, not at all. But I was like, this is perfect because now I smoke weed all day long. So
yeah, sure.
Wait, we don't have to talk about this if we don't want to.
No, I'm fine.
Was your sweet mate also closeted?
Yes. I mean, everyone was closeted. Freshman year, there was not a single out gay person that I knew, and there was no Grindr. So you were just having to figure out who was gay by
vibes.
I find this to be hot. You were living like
it was. It was so.
We lived through
handkerchief life.
We did.
We like lived through that too. I think, or I experienced that. I wasn't. I never asked the people that I hooked up with whether or not they were gay.
Yeah, fair enough. I didn't really have to ask.
Yeah.
Some people you don't
have
to
ask. Well, you don't ask because you just start doing. You just know.
Some people you don't have to ask. But if you're a person like me and you have a proclivity for people who are maybe a little different than you, you would be curious to ask them, but you don't ask.
Well, you don't know where someone's at in their trauma.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, are you ready to deal with this or not? Because you don't want to, you know, I was there for some really, yeah, like fundamental moments for people in college as they were working up the courage to act on their feelings and their attractions and all of that. And so it was, but yeah, so my friend read my Facebook messages and then at one point that day we were in a car together and he was like, don't hate me, but I read your Facebook messages and I know you're gay.
Oh my God.
And when he said that, the biggest weight was off my shoulders, but there was this pause and he couldn't even say it at the time, but he said, and I'm that way too. Mm. And that forever like bonded us and we're still best friends to this day.
Wow.
And we couldn't even say it at the time. And this isn't that long ago. I mean, it's a minute ago.
The kids don't understand though. Like they don't understand. It wasn't that long ago. And like we couldn't. It was so different.
The
media.
Felt,
Just everything. Continue.
Yeah. No, but like we even felt the shadow of our parents. That far away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a long, the reason why I think it took me so long, like moving here and 7 or 8 years before I had my first cut, I had to re-influence myself. I had to like deprogram all of the influences that I grew up with.
Yeah.
And then I keep some, like I did a praise and worship song for the other two, season two of the other two, Jesus fucking slays.
Oh my God.
And I'm singing that one and wrote that one. And so that one, I was like, when Chris and Sarah called me and were like, here's the idea. I was going to say, here's the challenge. Cause that's what it always is for like Drag Race. But they're like, here's the episode. I was like, oh, I got this. And I love being able to pull from leading praise and worship for that.
That's fucking awesome.
It took me a long time to find the right influences of like Prince and Rufus Wainwright and Madonna and then falling in love with Britney Spears and all of them all over again because I had to love them in like secrecy. So it just took me a little bit longer, I think, to write songs that weren't dated.
Right.
You know, and now I feel like I've got all like the tools, which is nice.
Wait, I got thrown off because I'm like, what songs have you written that are dated?
You never heard them. It was like hundreds of songs over the first 7 years of living in LA where I was just chasing. I was like, Jason Derulo has a big song. Let me try to write 10 songs to pitch to him.
Right.
Or
totally.
Maroon 5. Let me try to write for them or whoever. And I was definitely changing a lot of myself to try to get just like good pop songs. And I was never quite executing it correctly. And I would turn in songs to my publisher and I would be so excited. And then thankfully they were honest with me and they were like, yeah, not quite there yet. And now I'm, as a publisher myself, I have songwriters. I'm telling them like, just you're almost there and there's no trick that I can tell you to take a shortcut, but you're continuing to sharpen your instincts.
Yeah.
And that's now, what I was gonna say.
Now one of my writers is like turning in just unbelievable. She like tapped into it.
That's
and I said, I can't encourage you other than just keep
going.
Writing because you have to get past this song to get to the next one.
Yeah.
So I had to get through a lot of songs to get to which and then the song that you think is going to go, it's always a different one.
It's always a random one.
It's a random one. You know, Daya, the song Hideaway, she was just hanging out with us in the studio now and we're like still like very good friends to this day. And I care about her so much and I'm so proud of her. And she came out as a queer artist not that long ago. And that was so amazing.
Cool.
But, you know, we were writing songs with her about boys for the first while.
Uh-huh.
But that was just her hanging out in the studio one day.
Yeah.
That wasn't, we weren't trying to write anything. And then that song just sort of like took off on its own.
Yeah. You're so really not in control.
You're not in control.
You're describing something too, like what you just said about, you know, needing to leave behind like your influences and then needing to like reintegrate them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I went through that big time when I left my home and like when I went to school to study songwriting, I really went off the rails and like left behind a lot of like pop instincts. I was like, I'm gonna go like full like Riot Girl and
which I would love to hear those songs.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Katie and I wrote some crazy songs.
Yeah, we wrote some crazy songs. Ugh. But I do think that like that cycle, there's something very, very universal about that. It's like you need to leave behind everything and then so that when you come back, you can find which parts of it are actually you.
Absolutely. And there's something so fun and freeing about pulling those influences back in and flipping them.
Yeah.
And writing.
Owning them.
Owning them and making them fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, like I did not imagine writing a praise and worship song called Jesus Fucking Slays.
But like who else could do that?
But it's,
you know?
So.
It had to be you.
It just, I'm like, got it. So now it kind of makes sense.
You know, yeah.
It's like a very weird full circle moment, but that's a beautiful way to put it. I love being able to look back and be like, yeah, that was traumatic, but I'm going to take this from it because it makes me happy.
Yeah.
Or this from it because it makes me laugh and I think it's going to make other people laugh.
Huh.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. And it's, I feel like you have cycle to keep doing it.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, it's like songwriter therapy.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Do we want to do a review? Are there any other questions you want to get in?
I mean, I have a thousand questions.
I'm not in a rush, so as long as you want.
What time is it?
It's 3:52.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm. I probably should go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to dinner with early dinner with my mother.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Where are you going?
Your mother.
She wants to go to Girl and the Goat.
Oh, cute. Stephanie Izzard.
What?
She won Top Chef Chicago.
Oh, whoa. Cute. Yeah, that's how my
Let's
mom knows it.
Incredible.
It's
incredible.
From Chicago. Okay, so on our show, we read a review and then we review the review.
Amazing.
So
usually they're pretty good.
Okay, Zadie and Ferrante gave a 5-star review. Masterclass in crispy R's.
What?
This podcast makes me giggle, baby. Love Naomi's quips, Katie's vulnerability, and Joe's near constant crispy R's and old-timey commentary.
What does the hell does a crispy R mean?
I was hoping maybe you guys would know.
Oh my God, no, great. Now we're old.
Is it just that like Giselle pronounces R's like R?
I think so. And then it says, great company when you can't be left alone with your own thoughts, parentheses, all the time.
Crispy R accent. Okay. What?
Is it just California?
California? Okay,
no. Yeah, it's very pleasing to hear you speak,
okay,
Joe.
Right. I give this review a 10 out of 10 because it's intriguing.
I'm very
like,
intrigued.
Yeah. It makes you look inward.
I'm curious.
I'm not only intrigued, but I'm getting educated.
Researching.
My only negative is that it kind of makes me feel like you ever just like be talking and then someone's like, thank you so much for your vulnerability. And you're like, what did I say? I'm just like,
wait, no.
Okay, hold on.
I'm not doing.
And here are some celebrities with crispy R's.
Crispy.
Like crispy R's.
Wait.
Okay, number one, Kourtney Kardashian has crispy R's.
R.
Max Greenfield, AKA Schmidt from New Girl.
Yeah.
Are all these
crime that warrants statistics? If you watch Succession,
yeah,
who plays Carolina, her name is Doug Mara. I cannot pronounce her last name, but she has very sort of crispy R's and is very elegant. And I really noticed her crispy R's watching.
That was a sexy voice. Succession. I don't think I have
this
that.
This is that girl who acts. She's good.
So good.
Ellen DeGeneres has very crispy R's. Kind of famously has crispy R's. You know, I think she's probably the most famous person
who
with crispy
is this
R's.
Girl?
It's the girl who does the really good mouth impressions.
It's a pretty iconic lick.
I need to listen. I need her in my life.
Yeah.
This girl did that thing where she was like how actors act based on their mouth shape alone. And she like transformed into a bunch of different people.
It was unbelievable.
She's pretty awesome.
She's a star.
So shout out to, I'm going to name her Mary Elizabeth Kelly. Shout out to Mary Elizabeth Kelly for explaining what crispy R's means.
And I think that's a huge compliment for someone to say that you have crispy R's.
Can you like say a sentence with a bunch of R's, Josette?
Now she's self-conscious. We're going to have to do it another time.
Remember the rain in Roanoke.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you did.
You know what's funny? That Katie and I wrote a song about Roanoke.
No, you didn't.
Did.
No, you
didn't.
That was one of our folk. No, I wish I could send it to you. It's like a folk allegory.
Let's be honest. It was Roanoke.
Yeah.
It was.
Katie was in her spider era.
Yeah.
Roanoke.
I don't know. Remember the rain in Roanoke.
I think a little bit of crisp.
It's not the crispiest, but it's pretty crispy.
I'm not picking up on it. But
it's a little crispy. Okay. I don't know.
We'll send the crispy R test.
I have beef with the I guess it's because of the way the word crispy sounds. I think it should be titled something else. Because it's a little more...
The C and the P are really upstaging, you know?
Yeah, it's...
And it's a little more elegant than...
Yeah, it's a little more like...
crispy makes you think of.
It's a little more languid. Yeah, crispy is like...
Yeah.
Wavy R.
I agree.
Yeah, it's a wavy R.
I see a wavy R.
Yeah, wavy R.
Rounded
Curled R.
Curled R.
Curled R.
Curl was a pitch for our band name.
There you go. Curled R.
Okay, well, everybody... go stream Leland's song Bad at Letting Go featuring Muna.
100%.
And stream the many other songs.
I love that song so much.
I can't wait for us to perform it together.
I can't wait.
I'm jizzing.
It's going to happen.
Maybe for the Greek.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Ooh. I had that thought too, actually.
Thank you.
Love
for coming
you
on.
So much. Love all of you. Thank you for having
wait,
me.
Wait, everyone's got to do their thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We love you. And I love you, Katie.
Thank you for doing this with us. I love you, and I love you, Naomi. And I didn't close my eyes that time. I looked right at Joe.
This was such a pleasure. I love you all through my screen. I'm missing everyone and loving everyone, and I love you, Josette.
And we're wishing Josette better health. Joe, you got an IV drip. How was that?
No, I got shot in the ass.
You got shot in the ass. That's different.
I got a C in my ass.
Nice.
That will certainly help.
Did you get it? Was only
painful.
It was ass based exclusive.
It was ass based exclusive. She said, let me see that thing and see what that thing does. And so then I whipped off my pants.
Nice. That she said that thing. Do
she shot me?
All right, cool. She shot me. Shot me.
I am truly just so honored to be here talking to all of you, and this was the best. And I love all of you, and I love all the songs we've written and everything that we've got to do together.
Yep.
And I love you, Leland.
Yeah.
Yay.
Wow.
And I love all the songs we're gonna write in the future, and they're gonna be really good.
I love the future babies.
And I love all of you that are gonna stream me, get it to number one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Katie's success era.
My success era. And I love my own therapist.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Gaiotic is a production of HeadGum.
Created and hosted by us, the band Muna, but mostly we're known as the famous podcasters from the podcast Gaiotic.
Our producer is Anya Kanovskaya.
And our associate producer is Ali Khan.
If you want to prove that you love us, feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever people review podcasts. We might even pick your review and talk about it if it's a really good and really nice one.
You can subscribe to Gaiotic on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher,
wherever you get your podcasts.
New episodes drop on Hump Day, Wednesday, one of the greatest days of the week, baby.
That's right. We do this regularly because we have fucking discipline.
You're listening to our voices right now, which sound pretty good. But guess what? The face cards don't decline either. So head over to our Instagram at whereismuna and like one of our photos. I mean, truly any dopamine hit we can get is helpful.
Meet you right back here next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.